We start the 19th chapter of Jeremiah tonight. And, you know, sometimes when we're reading through here, it sounds like there's an awful lot of repetition. But one thing that we need to realize that Jeremiah was not written in chronological order at all. It was, you can't take these chapters and say this came after this in time. There was this, all of this happened over a period of five kings. Jeremiah was one that saw his prophecies come to pass. And so this is one of the reasons of the reputation, because he would speak in different locations. It's like maybe an evangelist, you know, he might go to five churches and preach the same five sermons for a week, you know. Nobody'd ever hear the same thing. Well, you have this condition with Jeremiah. Not only that, but the best method of learning is repetition. And God uses that all the way through the Bible to repeat things. So these are the reasons that we see the same things almost several times through here. And we can learn many, many lessons from all of this. All right, thus saith the Lord, verse 1, go get a potter's earthen bottle and take of the ancient of the people and the ancient of the priests, and go forth in the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. And so now we have a little change. Last week we talked about the potter and the right that a potter would have over the clay. But now he's talking about getting a earthen bottle or an earthen pot. Now the difference between this bottle and the pot that we had last week is it doesn't tell us what kind of a pot that is, what kind of a vessel. But the word bottle here comes from a Hebrew word that means to gurgle. And it tells us the shape of this. It's got a small neck. You know, when you pour something out of something with a small neck, it don't get air in it. And is that a good word, to gurgle? Well, anyway, that's what the dictionary used on it. So what we're talking about is the sound of this being emptied. And this is the thought that God is trying to tell Judah and Jerusalem, is that he is emptying them out by the sound of this type of a bottle. Let's look at some verses along this line. And Roberta, look up Isaiah 24 and the first three verses of that. And Alan, Nahum 2:2, and Nancy, Jeremiah 51, 1 and 2. And these have a particular thought of how this kind of bottle is used. Now, the word empty that's being used in this verse is the same Hebrew word that's used for bottle in our lesson. Utterly empty, like you turn the bottle upside down and drain everything out of it. Now, they said, this is what I'm going to do to the land. And this is the thought that Jeremiah has in this too. Now, Nahum 2:2. They're translated emptiers that empty them out. And of course, we know what that is, and we studied that before. Jeremiah 51, 1 and 2. Now, the word empty there is the same basic Hebrew word for bottle. And God says he's going to empty this land out. He's going to have some emptiers on hand to do this. And so God will have a tool to do everything he wants to. Now, he was to go and get the ancient of the people and the ancient of the priest and take them down to the east gate, which is by the valley, it's by the wall there, the valley of the sons of Hinnom. The word ancient could be translated elders. And the ancient of the people would be the elders that was taken out of each tribe as a counselor or someone. And this actually began with Moses, if you'll remember. He chose men out of each tribe to help him counsel with the people. And so this practice was still here. And they was to take the ancient of the people and then the older, the elders of the priesthood. and bring them down to this gate, and go forth unto the valley of the sons of Hinnom. And we talked about the sons of Hinnom before in chapter 7 of this book, and I think we covered that fairly well. In fact, Jeremiah uses this phrase 8 times in his book, and 2 times in his chapter, verse 2 and I think it's verse 6, talks about the valley. And later on, it's called Tophet, T-O-P-H-E-T. And the word Tophet means to show contempt or to spit on something in an act of contempt, something that's abominable. Now, all of this is on the southeast area of Jerusalem. And so he was told to go into entry of this east gate. Another rendering of the word east gate, it could be sun gate. It comes from a Hebrew word that means to itch. And the thought that we have is the heat from the sun. It also has a thought of burn or to be red. All of these things, many have translated this the sun gate. But this was the place of proclamation of God's word. As he stood in the middle of this gate, he could say, on this hand, we have the burning rubbish, the terrible place, the stench, the dead bodies, the idolatry on one side, and on the other side, we have Jerusalem that the Lord loves, that God wants to keep and wants to protect. And so he brought them into a place of decision where he could show them what God really wanted to do for them. And he proclaimed the words that I shall tell thee. And so he did this, and here's the words in verse 3 that he was to say. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O King of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth, his ears shall tingle. Now God used this phrase several times as he dealt with the people of Israel. I'm trying to think of some of the scriptures here. But anyway, he used it several times. One with the house of Eli, he used it in 1 Samuel 11. Yeah, I think it is somewhere in there. I can't remember. And then another, used it against the sins of Manasseh, also in 2 Kings 21, 11 and 12. So what this simply means that it's going to be exciting and something different something they probably can't believe. I don't know all the details that would bring out. Here we have your ears to tingle over news, especially bad news. And he said, because they have forsaken me. I think I counted 4 things down through these verses that they were guilty of. I would call verse 4 and 5 God's fourfold indictment against his people. Of course, we've had this before. One, that they have forsaken me and have estranged this place. Second one, they have burned incense in it to other gods. Now, I'm sure as we look at this, he's pointing into the valley of Hinnom, of a terrible, terrible place, you know, place of abomination. I think it's in Isaiah 30, Greg, Isaiah 30, 33, I think is I'm not too positive about that. And I think there, that king is of course, the Antichrist that will end up in the pit of the abyss, which will be a terrible place. But it's only a little picture of the lake of fire that will be kindled at a later time. But it's a terrible place, and he brings them there, and he says, this is what all of Jerusalem and Judea is going to be. It's going to be like that. We'll see it as we go down through here. And the reason, here it is, look at it. You've forsaken me And you look what you've done to this place. And you burned incense and other gods in that valley. And not only that, that they did it in Jerusalem too, but here especially. They and their fathers have not known, nor are they kings of Judah. The third one, they have filled this place with the blood of innocents. And they have built also high places of Baal to burn their sons. Now actually there was two gods in the valley that they burned their children to. One was Baal, as we mentioned here, and the other one is Moloch that they burned. It was a hollow god, and they would build a fire inside of it and lay their children. And this was an abomination to God. I think it's 18th chapter Leviticus that God forbid this to happen, and which I command not, nor spake it, neither I came into mind. Therefore, behold, the day come, saith the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but it's going to be called the valley of slaughter. God's going to change their name. Now, we look at this and we say, hey, this valley was already a valley of slaughter, wasn't it? But it's not even a little picture what it's going to be. It's going to be a terrible, terrible place. Now, this is only a type, because he was standing at the gate by this valley. But when the armies, when God's chosen armies to come down to siege this city, this destruction is going to be everywhere. And we had that last week. There's no safe place. Everywhere they turned, there was death and destruction. And so this was only a picture of this, but it's going to be renamed the Valley of Slaughter. Verse 7, and I will make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place. And their counsel was this: nothing's going to happen. Don't worry about it. God isn't going to let them destroy our city. The temple is here. And God had told them over and over, not just by Jeremiah, but other prophets, that he was going to bring them in. Isaiah started years before Jeremiah, telling them what the problem is. And so their counsel will be brought to naught. It won't have any meaning at all. And by the way, in this chapter, I counted 9 I wills. There are 8 after verse 7, and 1 before that. And this is what God is going to do in there. And I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies, and by the hand of them that seek their lives, and their carcasses will I, or could be translated I will, just as readily, give to the meat of the fowls of heaven and of the beasts of the field. And I will make this city desolate and a hissing. Every one that passeth by shall be astonished and hiss because of the plagues thereof, and how terrible it will be. There's been battles after battles after battles, and nothing will be able to compare with what God is yet going to bring upon this earth, especially in Judah and Jerusalem. The word hiss there is an interesting word. It means a high, shrill sound, like a whistle. In Lamentations, Jack, it's your turn to read, isn't it? Lamentations 2, 15 and 16. It could be translated scorn, but always it's translated hiss. I believe 12 times in the book of Jeremiah is translated hiss. No, I think 12 times in the Old Testament. I'm sorry. 12 times in the Old Testament is translated hiss. I don't believe it's translated any other word. All right, Lamentations 2, 15 and 16. So there's kind of a mockery, a laughing, shaking of the heads. This was kind of what they did on the cross, too, when Jesus died. They stood under the cross and laughed and had a big time and shook their heads, and it was just a big show to many of those people. So will this be. in verse 9, and I will cause them to eat the flesh of their daughter, of their son, and the flesh of their daughter, and they shall eat every one flesh of his friends in the siege and the straitness wherewith their enemy, and they that seek their lives shall straiten them. I think how terrible this is to cause to eat human flesh. Evelyn, Deuteronomy 28:53. We have curses and blessings in that chapter. And if they would yield to the Lord, they would be blessed. Now in verse 1, we have the blessings that God is going to bless them with if they would just yield to the Lord. And in verse 14, we start the cursings that will come upon them if they don't yield to the Lord. And, you know, it would just make common sense to me for them to just yield to the Lord. But, you know, we are the same kind of people today, don't we? They know how God wants them to live. They know, there's no doubt, people who have been saved for years and filled with the Spirit and how they just don't want to live for the Lord. I knew a man that was raised over the Tabernacle. He worked in the print shop for years, and then when he got, 50-something years old, why, he just quit everything and started drinking. He beat his wife and beat his daughter. The man, it's just hard to understand. The man lived to be 96, I think. And I guess God just kept giving him chances to change. I don't know. I can't figure it out. But anyway, how terrible it is when people have a chance and know the truth and won't walk in the light of it. There is going to be a judgment on sin. And so the nation, God told them there in Deuteronomy that they will eat the flesh of their children. Well, we know that they did this when Babylon came down and seized the city. Also, according to history, the same thing happened in 70 AD when Titus came down and destroyed everything. But I believe it's going to have another fulfillment in the last days when people will actually do this. Maxine, Lamentations 4, 9 and 10 is another verse that we could read. How horrible it would be to have to eat your own children. The word sod in there could be translated boiled. And terrible. Well, the whole world will be out of order at that time. And people will act like animals. So God will only have a remnant of people that will be yielded unto him. Verse 10, then shalt thou break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee. So we're still standing at the east gate here, see. And he says, you'll break this bottle and say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city as one breaketh the potter's vessel, cannot be made whole again. Colon. Stop on that. That's worth thinking about. And they shall bury them in Tophet until there be no place to bury them, or until the place is full, no place left. That's quite a valley. So the breaking of this bottle, though, is a symbolic action explained in verse 11, that God is going to break them. The fact they cannot be made whole again. God is not going to make or have the same nation that he had when he breaks them. When they go back this time, they're going to be a new nation, a new creation. The law will not be written on a stone as it was before, but it'll be written on the fleshly tables of their heart. And so they'll not be made over. It's like God doesn't make us over. He puts us to death and brings out of death a new creation. And so he will with a nation. It cannot be made whole again. And the whole thing will be buried in the valley of slaughter. Verse 12. Thus will I do unto this place, saith the Lord, and to the inhabitants thereof, and even make it as a city, make this city as Topheth. Now the whole city will be likened to this. It's going to be like the slaughterhouse. And all they would have to do is repent and turn to the Lord. So simple. But they won't. And God knew they wouldn't. The house of Jerusalem and the house of the kings of Judah shall be filled as the place of Topheth. And we read about that before, how people will be slain and they won't even be picked up. They'll just lay in the street. The animals will eat their body because of all the houses on whose roofs they have burned incense unto all the host of heaven and have poured out drink offerings unto other gods. Now this is the reason, you see, a terrible, terrible sense of idolatry. And this idolatry goes even to self-centeredness and not caring about the children or anything. In this age that we're living in now, I'm amazed of how many people care very little about their children. They're more interested in their job. They're more interested in entertainment and doing what they want to do and drinking and things. And they're not really interested in their children. Greg had a case like that. He was mentioned in prayer time along the same line. And we need to pray for this little boy too. But idolatry will bring these things to pass. The fact that they burn incense in every home upon the rooftops. Of course, back in those days, they had flat roofs, and they used them for such. Then came Jeremiah from Topheth, or from this gate that he was standing, whither the Lord had sent him to prophesy, and he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks that they might hear my word. Might not hear my word. And they were like this after the death of Jesus, wasn't they? They were still like this at the stoning of Stephen. And I think they're still like this today. They haven't changed any. Let's see, what else is I going to say about that? Last I will is in verse 15.